Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, it is now or never, and I just want to point out that I told you so. I didn't think it'd be this quick, but then again, you got to remember that with a Democratic president, there is a high propensity that we go to war. And so I'll be the first one to tell you that we're going to be dragged into a war instead of actually doing what we should have done to actually have and control the narrative. And so where am I going with this? Because this is the foremost, because it's Feedback Friday, this is the foremost important topic that we need to talk about, and they're just kind of brushing it over, because what we've got going on right now, folks, is an election and a huge charade of political stunts to get you to think otherwise, to get you to think, oh, well, you know, things are going good and there's nothing more important than getting rid of every bum that doesn't support the Constitution, whether that be at your county level, whether that be at your state level, whether that be at the federal level. Now, as I always tell you, it's now or never. Well, never's coming quick. And I'm just going to tell you that in the last week, while we were doing content and covering the Constitution, President Z, who just got, you know, apparently some precedent-setting third-time term as the president of the Chinese Communist Party, has come right out and stated that Taiwan is a Chinese issue. In other words, it's the Chinese Communist Party that gets to determine what happens to Taiwan. I've been on the record for a long, long time, since going back to 2016, that President Trump needed to start appealing to every nation out there that was being pulled in or threatened by tyranny, by these communist regimes, and this is how we get rid of the UN. But the whole point is that we have the ability to bring these nations in as territories. Doesn't mean they become states, doesn't mean they have the ability to vote or what have you, and they would have a federal ID until the state actually became a full state. And there's got to be these high bars to bringing these different states around the world into the United States. When you think about it, and we're going to get into this as well, and I kind of cover this in my upcoming book article that I'm writing, that's not done yet, is I talk about this divine design that our Creator had given us in this Constitution, that our form of government is unlike any form of government. As a matter of fact, the way it is to function and the way it is to operate, it is tantamount to the human body. There's some very close parallels to how it works and operates, because by design, because we have oaths, legal oaths for the citizen and for every participant, even for entities, businesses, and so forth, you cannot bypass the U.S. Constitution. You cannot take away anyone's rights or privileges. Any law that does so, such as an HOA association contract or any, you know, labor contract, you cannot legally sign away your rights. It's that simple. Because no state shall make or enforce any law. So in other words, they can create them. But just because you signed them, just because, you know, you want to live in that home, but you got to play by their rules, which are violations of the Constitution, then you don't have to. But let's get back to Z, because I don't want to go down the rat holes. There's lots of them to go through today. But with Xi's comments on Taiwan, he's coming right out and saying that it is in their interest to resolve this and it's China's responsibility to resolve it. They don't accept Taiwan's autonomy. They don't accept, nor will they accept, Taiwan's sovereignty. The dolt, the unconstitutional dolt that we have in the White House is absolutely going to kill millions of people. And I mean this because there is a way to go through this in the campaign of the world, because I'm just telling you right now, if the United States actually stood up and said, any state in the world, if you, the people of any state in the world, want to become a state in the United States, we will put you on that path, and we will create very specific and defined guides and milestones to bring you in. They can't do that because that would destroy the globalist movement in getting rid of our Constitution. And so what we're talking about is actually putting, it's actually flipping the poles of the earth. It is literally putting things right with the Lord, because making every nation free, just imagine, every nation that comes into the United States will finally have these inalienable rights of the right of religious expression. What person, what Christian would deny somebody that right? Now, I understand that an Islamic state cannot. The first thing they have to do is they have to become a free state. They have to become a free state, and they have to actually have some credentials in becoming a free state. And the credentials aren't, you know, legalizing abortion and so forth, but making all people equal and not subjugating and actually dismantling Islam, Sharia law, and so forth. The caliphates, that theocracy cannot harmonize with a nation of liberty and free sovereign states of liberty. They don't recognize that, which is why what has been going on is just, it's deplorable. So there's a lot of work I need to do. I need to write these petitions. I need to get this book done. But I've been, this campaign season has taxed me more than in the past. And health has a little bit to do with it. Distractions have a lot to do with it. But the fact that I have a lot of standing phone calls Monday through Saturday, and even sometimes dynamically on Sunday, that it's just hard for me to get the time. So as soon as we get over this election, I'm going to try to consolidate my meetings and my phone calls and so forth, so that I actually have, you know, everybody in the state. And so what I'm hoping to do is I'm actually hoping to start opening up a free conference call. And what I want to do, it would be nice to do this, it's pie in the sky, but I'd like to actually record those meetings so that we can air those meetings right here on Red State Talk Radio, and eventually do those meetings live so that you can actually, you know, hear the meeting. Because what we want to do is, this is going to be a tactical meeting. What do you do at your county level, and what do you have to do to deal with this? Because I'm telling you right now, folks, just like Biden has shot the shot across our bow, saying he has the means and the capacity and the capability of coming after us, he's going to use unconstitutional laws and tyranny to stifle his opposition. And his opposition is the Constitution. In other words, he's not looking to, you know, actually do what he's supposed to do. He's a criminal in chief. So, and I really hate using those types of terms, but when you actually start exerting criminal activity and so forth, then you actually, you can't step away from that. I mean, that stink sticks, if you know what I mean. So what we need to do is, we really need to get you more engaged. And I'm open to your suggestions, but what I'm looking to do is, I'm looking to set aside one day out of the month, or one day out of the week, forgive me, one day out of the week to start having a group meeting. And so what I'm hoping to do is actually get people that are just starting so that they can kind of collaborate and start working together. And we'll have this meeting that it won't go live for a while. But what we want to do is this is actually getting an open forum to letting people know this is what I've done. And so people can hear it from the actual source, because right now I'm just the medium that is communicating for what the heck's going on in Paul Venable's campaign and his run for the U.S. Senate and so forth. And we're going to get into that in just a couple minutes. But what we need to do is to actually start hearing and making connections, and so that we can start bridging and creating this network on the Constitution. Because folks, if you didn't know it, let me take a quick look at the calendar, because it's important that I do this. I want to tell you that on the 9th of November, the day before the Marine Corps birthday, is when the Campaign for America begins. And what I mean by this is when you need to launch your petitions campaign against your, and this is how you start getting organized, and you start launching your petitions campaign against all of these people who just won their election. Now, you're not going to be actually providing them petitions, but we're going to try to have enough petitions, general petitions, and we need your help to get other specific petitions done. So that, just imagine if everybody was doing this. We'll be right back after this.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so now, as we were just going into break, I was just saying, just imagine if everyone that could actually help actually starts helping. If you start helping by collecting, the first step in helping is signing a petition. The second level of help, you know, that next ring on the ladder, in climbing this little road to the high road, is actually taking these petitions and taking these signature sheets and collecting signatures. The next road, the next tier, is to get other people educated, invigorated on the Constitution, and get them to sign, and actually not just sign, but actually getting out. Because as you're out there getting people to sign, that next step in taking, because look at it this way. It takes nothing to download the petition, and it takes nothing to actually print it out and sign it yourself. You've just accomplished the first step. Now, and all you've got to do, and we'll work with you, don't print out the PDF. Don't take the PDF and cut and paste it. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and I will send you back a Word document so that you can edit your county and your state's, you know, put the appropriate names in there just by changing the font of the red, or I should say the red font. You just change that stuff that's red to what is appropriate for you and your county and state. So now you print these things out and you actually just, you know, go out and get some signatures. And as you're getting signatures, all you've got to do is let everybody understand what this is. This is a First Amendment right of petition for the redress of grievances. This is a petition to government demanding that they redress these grievances. And then as they learn this and they sign it, then it's that easy to just, as they're signing, say, would you please help me gather signatures for this sheet? Or are you willing to print out a sheet so that you can start gathering signatures on your own? Now, some people may not be happy to do that, but they can help you gather. Will you help me gather? And then if they're comfortable enough to go, yeah, I can do this. Because once, this is not rocket science. This is like riding the bike. And I think many people kind of in their DNA can ride this bike, but many people just never learned this stuff. And why is it that when it comes to liberty and independence and sovereignty, it's innate within every human being? That's why, you know, it's like teaching the bike, getting back to this metaphorical, you know, comparison of a bike to doing this. You know, people just are, you know, have this natural knack of there are those, it just comes natural to ride a bike. I believe with every human being, it will come natural to seek individual liberty, individual sovereignty, and in becoming a sovereign citizen. And I'm not talking about the sovereign citizen movement. You have to assert your sovereignty. And the only way you assert your sovereignty is through First Amendment petitions. This is very powerful stuff, folks. So when you get to that third ring and you're actually recruiting other people, now you're organizing. And so now you just need to start having meetings. You just, you know, whoever you've gotten that's signed and are interested in learning more, then you create a Skype. Go get yourself a Skype account. Have them get a Skype account and start meeting on Skype. Do not use Zoom. Do not use the Chinese Communist Party's spying mechanism so that they know exactly what you're doing. Go use Skype. Make it a little difficult for them, okay? Just don't use what they've given the world to manage and control by gathering intelligence on everything we're talking about and doing. I mean, even companies that use that go over intellectual property and those types of things, are you kidding me? How stupid are they? Anyway. So now you've got, you know, you're starting to have meetings. You've just hit the fourth ring. How hard is that? And so the next step would be actually getting other people to start doing what you're doing and creating a larger network and a larger network. Now, if you need help, ask anybody that's been working with me. I will work with you and I will help you get these things started. And as a matter of fact, you're more than welcome to actually, when we go live, to participate and become a part of this national movement. But this national movement begins on the 9th of February, just a couple of weeks away, folks. So you really need to start tuning in, because you need to hear the content and how we connect all of the dots by going through this, because I'm going to connect some dots for you regarding this January 6th, this right, because I'm going to be doing a go back on the Eighth Amendment, because I don't think people really understand when I say that they had no authority, even though the Constitution says some things. We're going to go back through that today. Now, but before I do, what I want to do is I want to get you to actually help Paul Venable get across the finish line. The most important thing, and so I wish I could have him on here, but he's traveling right now, and he has a tough campaign because he's not getting the level of support that he should be getting. He's not getting the level of support. I mean, there's lots of people that say, "Hey, I'm on your side. I want to help," and very few people are helping, other than those people like yourself who have actually been contributing. If you have the ability to contribute a little bit more, because he is committed to launching his campaign for the Constitution on the 9th of November, which is the day after the election. In other words, he's not ending his campaign because his campaign has really been on the Constitution all along. But technically, it's been a U.S. Senate race. So what he's doing is converting his U.S. Senate race into a campaign for the Constitution by going after all of the local county commissioners, going after his state legislators, his governor, his attorney general, all of these folks. You know, and I wish I had the time to go into this, but their attorney general, who, you know, he believes and he's leading in the polls to become a U.S. senator, this guy is an idiot. Now, everybody looks at what he's doing and go, wow, this is great, because he was just on Fox News. And he's suing a group of banks that are not allowing certain businesses to get loans and to operate. In other words, it's this net zero test that they have that if you're not woke enough, they're not going to give you money. Well, so what is he doing? He's suing them in court. Here is a state attorney general who has the authority to go after the state legislator to say these banks are operating in our state and they are violating the Constitution. They cannot discriminate because of a person's political affiliation. This is repugnant to the Constitution and these banks need to be shut down and fined. And so the state legislature is responsible, and he's responsible for going after them. So he should be suing them in the state, and he should be actually suing the state legislature for failing to do something. Folks, whether you like it or not, our corruption level is so great that we absolutely need a full-time state legislature to do all of the cleaning, with the goal in mind not to keep these guys in office. The goal in mind is actually cleaning up the filth, getting rid of the corruption, and getting these guys back to becoming truly, marginally, part-time legislators so that they don't need to do this work. We don't need 7,000 plus state legislators across the nation working full time into the millennia. We don't need that. But we do need them on call, not even on call, on the job until the last bit of corruption has been dealt with. What that means is it's going to take a few years. But we need to articulate what, and this is what Republic Review does. Republic Review actually articulates what the goals are. Once Republic Review is done, then it's time to just clean up, do the finishing cleanup in the state, and then they go back to their normal session. Or actually, so here's the thing. When you realize how little power that they have in your state and at the federal level, then you'll realize, wow, they don't even need to be meeting as much as they do. They don't need to intervene that much in our lives. As long as we have this beautiful thing that I was alluding to called this body of government that includes you and I. It includes every entity. And as a matter of fact, if we held everybody accountable and every entity accountable to the U.S. Constitution, almost all of our problems go away, folks. I mean, it doesn't mean that we don't need police anymore, but we don't need to have this over-employed enforcement agencies. Are you kidding me? When all of a sudden we actually demand full compliance, everybody starts complying. The problem is that everybody gets away with, oh, well, I'm not going to comply to this. And they allow that to happen. And we're at a point where we've completely turned our backs on the Constitution and the rule of law. All we've got to do is just turn around, folks. It's really that simple. And we're not talking about a big ship here. It has to be done by one person at a time. It's like coming unto Christ, right? It can't be done, you know, in a group salvation where everybody, you know, for those who can't, you know, do what they should do, well, we'll do it for you. We can't do that. It has to be done at an individual basis, and we all have to turn around. We all have to actually start facing this Constitution that he gave us and actually start enforcing it and start demanding compliance. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to get into the Constitution, Paul's campaign, and then I'm actually going to do the go-backs on the Eighth Amendment and January 6th and what I was saying earlier in the week. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so before I get into the Paul's campaign, I just brought to my attention that I really need to make sure that you're aware of what the primary Chinese products are, because there's way too many patriots that I see who have purchased Lenovo products. Lenovo used to be an IBM, you know, consumer-based product. Now it's Chinese owns that, folks. If you buy anything that is coming from China that is a Chinese product and a Chinese label or brand, I'm just telling you, if it's a computer or anything like that, they are spying on you. They put firmware in their equipment to actually capture everything they possibly can about you, your passwords, whatever they can get that they believe is the critical parts. If it's a phone, they already capture your, you know, have you ever heard China having problems going after Apple, going after Android or anybody like that, or Google to say, you need to give us the back door to get into these things? They captured from the back door already because they're manufacturing it and they put firmware in the computer circuitry to ensure that they can capture the critical information they need. If you got a password, you got locks on the apps and your phone or what have you, they'll be able to capture that. And so why would you have anything to do with, and I believe most of you would not even buy and go out of your way probably not to buy Chinese. But if you're not aware that there are American brands that have been bought out by China, then you've got to stop buying them. And as a matter of fact, we need to start shifting away from Smithfield's and some of the other food products that have been unconstitutionally sold to China. We need to start demanding that Smithfield, you know, is get out of, because every pig that they've purchased in America is not theirs. Every building that they've purchased in America is not theirs. Whoever sold it to them had no authority to sell to a hostile foreign entity. Doesn't even matter if they're hostile. They have no authority to sell any asset or resource. It is not in the power within the Constitution, which is why we're going to be doing a petition that actually does that. It's going to go after every piece of property, everything that has been sold to a foreign entity that they have. There's nowhere in any of our constitutions that is delegated to our government officials the ability to sell any U.S. asset, resource, what have you, to any foreign entity. It's just not there. They don't have the authority. They don't have legitimately the authority. So anyway, let me get back to Paul's campaign. So one of the things I just learned is, and it just happened, I think, about a week or two ago, because he told me that he was called by, and I'm not going to get this right. So somebody called him and wanted to let him know, and they wanted to actually do an interview with him because, you know, it kind of got on this person's radar that here's a person that the Republicans are getting very scared of because he's actually gained more focus and he's polling higher than any third party has ever polled before in Missouri. And so, and I believe that polling is like 5%. And it's the first time a third party has risen to that level. Now, I don't know what you think about Ted Cruz. And I don't know what you think about Rand Paul. And I don't know what you think about, you know, Josh Hawley and all these other, you know, staunch conservatives. They're not constitutional. And they're scared when they actually realize, because these guys can't, I mean, they're already connected. I want to make you understand this. The reason why 40 Republicans, or around that number, a high percentage of Republicans in 2018 resigned from office, or they didn't resign, they chose not to run. They vacated office because they knew that they had their hands in the cookie jar. They knew that there was enough evidence against them that it would come out in the campaign and they would never have the opportunity to become a public servant again. So it's always better to just bow out on your own so that you can come back in at a different time when all of a sudden, you know, you're no longer beholden to, you know, those people who own or control that cookie jar. So Paul's campaign is actually really turning heads. And he just this past week, he was at an event in St. Louis where he actually had an opportunity to make some assertions. And he basically asserted that every member of Congress on January 6th violated the Constitution. And a Josh Hawley representative, who was, you know, he probably somebody that works for Josh Hawley, was in the room. He said, "Not Josh Hawley." And Paul Venable says, "Let me repeat this. Every member of Congress violated the Constitution." And so, I mean, it just kind of shut this guy up. And he went into what ended up happening, how the Electoral College was violated, how Congress failed to do their constitutional oath, and not one Congress member came forward and actually at the microphone or on the floor, you know, demanded that the 12th Amendment be executed because the Electoral College was unconstitutionally formed. Not one. Josh Hawley included. So my point is, folks, is that Paul Venable has a great chance of gaining some speed. I'm telling you, he's already committed to running and beginning and initiating his campaign on the Constitution on the 9th of November. Now, fortunately, it's not the same rigorous, you know, demands. So he'll be able to spend some time with his beautiful wife and his beautiful family and be able to, you know, get to reacquainted with them while he's still initiating his campaign. The first thing that we need to get done in November and December is getting prepped with the petitions. We need more petitions than just the few that we have. We want to overwhelm the public when they come up with 10 to 12 petitions and they go, wow, this is big. Wow, this is huge. Wow, this is prodigious. This is so important. This is the utmost importance. This is paramount. Wow. Then people start getting the message how serious we are. See, it's one thing to say, build the wall, and then I'm free to do whatever I want to do to help me and help my cronies, you know, advance our agenda. We don't want to build the wall. We want to end the invasion. We want full compliance. We don't just want to end the invasion. We want full compliance of the Constitution. And that's where we've got to be. That's where we need to go. So with that, let me actually say it. If I already said this, forgive me, but I'm going to say it again. If you have any money or ability to contribute to Paul Venable's campaign, because there's a couple of weeks left, folks, please reach in. He's got traveling to do. And you know what? It would be nice if he actually ended this campaign with a zero ballot budget. But I'm telling you right now, he's operating in the red. In other words, he's subsidizing his run for America in trying to save America because he's not getting enough contributions. He's traveling all over the state and going from Kansas City, you know, on the very far west side, to St. Louis on the far east side, down to the south and up to the north. He's traveling in every direction, and he needs your help. And as a matter of fact, those of you who can't get there and help financially, you know, Paul Venable, then I would ask that you please pray for him. Pray for his safety, you know, pray for his successes, and actually pray for yourself in, you know, trying to find ways that you can help him and all of those who are willing to campaign for the Constitution. Because we want to make sure we're not campaigning for America. We're campaigning for the Constitution. Because America is just a country. America is just a government. But the Constitution is the rule of law. It is the law of the land, the supreme law of the land. And if we get it to be enforced, our problems go away. Now, what I get to do is I get to go through, and I only got one segment to do it. So forgive me for my efforts here, but what we need to do is we need to go through the Bill of Rights and the Eighth Amendment. And so let me get to the Eighth Amendment. And let me see here. Where are the original Eighth Amendment? Okay. So as I attested and as I went through this, because this is actually the Sixth Amendment. This is the Fourth Amendment. Because as I'm looking at this, because I'm looking at the original, I have to transpose in my mind, and I do this. So, by the way, because I'm on the West Coast and you may be on the East Coast, when I say noon, we agree, I'll call it noon. Your noon is not my noon. And so it's easy to, you know, transpose or not think of those things. And I do pretty good. Every once in a while I'll make that mistake. And I did it once this year to a person in Colorado, Ginger Bennett. But anyway, what we want to do is we want to go through the Sixth Amendment, and which is actually the Eighth Article, because I kept on saying the Eighth Amendment, of the 12 articles for the Bill of Rights. So, and that's about criminal prosecution and so forth. But I've got to give you some background when we come back on all of this so that you understand how and why these arrests and everything else is illegitimate and what should have happened. We'll be right back after these two promos. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me be clear here. The rights of the people are sacred. Government cannot, under this constitutional framework, under this body that our Creator designed for us, the rights of the people are sacred. This is why you hear me say that in every hall of government, at the very top, so everybody can see it in big, bold letters, they have to say that this is what it needs to say on every wall, all four walls in the room, like in Congress, wherever it is, wherever government is meeting, these few words need to be at the very top of every wall, that the object of government is to protect property and life, or actually protect life and property. In other words, they cannot create laws that are taking away your property. In other words, if they ever have a law that you can't pay your taxes, that they can take your home, that is an unconstitutional law because it violates their responsibility of protecting your property, individual life and individual property. Now, war is something different. Now, we have to fight wars because we have to defend our liberties. And so government has a very solemn responsibility to not get us involved in wars that do not and have nothing to do with our liberty. Now, when you start looking over the past century plus, you can see how they've really defiled us. And they've done this so for their own manipulation, for their own control, and so forth. And the way to end this is how we started the show off, that we actually have to start telling people, I'm not talking about showing off, you know, bragging, how I started this particular show today is going to every country in the world and telling the people of those countries that if you want to be free, if you want to live in the land of liberty, that all you need to do is petition yourselves in a election to determine whether you want to become a state in the United States or not, because we're no longer going to be defending you from your own hands or from, you know, the conquests of others. We will defend anybody who wants liberty but we're not playing games to basically help build up a regime and to support tyranny. Done. We're done with that. We've played that for way too many decades, well over a century. It's time to end, and time to end this reign of tyranny in the world. So, anywho, when we look at what happened, because right here in the Sixth Amendment, it says, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy trial and a public trial by impartial jury and by the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which the district shall have been previously ascertained by law. So one of the things I told you is they couldn't do these things. But let me kind of give you this picture. What laws were they violating? Was this treason? Were they demanding treason to actually overthrow the government processes? No. Do they have a right to petition? Was this, because if this was treason, everybody would have actually had arms. It's one thing to charge them for treason and then convict them. And it's another thing to charge a person for an insurrection or what they're claiming, because just because the people are going after government, the people and their rights are sacred. That's why I started this segment off. Their rights are sacred. So the law states that Congress shall make no law that abridges the rights of the people to petition government for the redress of grievances. In other words, they could not have locked those doors. The fact that those doors were locked and the fact that those doors got broken through, whether that be by the pressure of the crowd or by nefarious individuals, doesn't matter. Those doors should never have been locked. They created a criminal by locking those doors and violating the law themselves. The true criminal was the persons that called for the locking of those doors, which is Congress. Congress is the criminal here. They had no legal authority to keep the people out of their house to petition government. Now, they didn't have to be available. While they're in chambers, they don't have to be available. And the people need to respect that. But as long as they're there and as long as they can, you know, chant outside in the halls where they, because folks, you have these rights. And as long as you are not going in and interfering, because if they have a closed session or what have you, that they're trying to do some work, then they have the right to do that. But you also have the right to be there to petition them and to be in that building. They can't lock you out. And as a matter of fact, if they were smart, they would have a media center or multiple media centers where they could actually process you to allow you to state your petition on a videotape or what have you. And if you want to read it, however you want to do it, they will capture it so that they can redress your grievances later. Because that way, they're actually using technology to serve you better. Because you are sacred, or I should say, your rights are sacred, and that right of petition is that critical. And so, it was Thomas Jefferson in 1798 that said this, and we're going to be getting into this shortly after the election, or shortly after I finish up the Constitution. And this is what he says, resolved. This is the second resolution in the Kentucky Resolution. He says, resolved that the Constitution of the United States, having delegated to Congress a power to punish treason, counterfeiting the securities and the current coin of the United States, piracies and felonies committed on the high sea, and offenses against the laws of nations, and no other crimes whatsoever, and it being true as a general principle, and one of the amendments of the Constitution having been declared, that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, not prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. So in other words, if they didn't have the power delegated and the states don't have this reservation in the Constitution that they can't do those things, then bottom line, the federal government cannot execute that enforcement. They cannot come out and say, but the whole point here is that when they have to do a grand jury, they actually have to get the states to determine the first barrier, that legal barrier that has to be overcome before a grand jury can even be convened to determine whether these people had committed a crime or not, is whether the federal government had the authority to violate that Constitution. Had the states amended the Constitution anywhere that says for emergency powers or on specific administrative times, the Congress shall have the power to constrain the people's rights to petition them for the redress of grievances, then it would be a different story. But they do not have that power. So when they tried to convene these grand juries to enforce a law of enforcing something that, one, is not a law, it's not a constitutional law that they can enforce, nor can they even go down that path because they were the ones that violated the law. In essence, when you understand an ex post facto law or a bill of attainder, bill of punishment, if they create a law that actually makes your activity that would be absolutely legitimate, you know, maybe it was a mistake that those doors were locked. Maybe what will end up happening if the United States and we the people demanded Congress to be held accountable, they'd probably try to backpedal and go, oh, it was a mistake. It's, you know, and then they'll grab their go-to person, some clerk or somebody that promulgated something that said, yeah, we need to lock the doors on this day. That person published that and will hang that person. And, you know, and because that's how they operate. They accept no responsibility for what they're doing. And we know as well as, you know, everybody in the whole world knows that the United States and the operations of our government are not in sync with the Constitution. In other words, they are acting as criminals. But I'm telling you that the world is enjoying this because the world is engaging in equal criminal activity with our United States government. Do you understand what I just said? Because all of these loans, all of this land being purchased, all of this activity, oh, it is all going into the favor of the world. Or when I say the world, not the people of the world, the elites. Our government is actually committing warfare against the Constitution, against we the people. I prove this all the time, folks. But we have the ability, and as I started talking about this, the Creator gave us a system that is tantamount to an immune system, that the body of our government, just like the human body, is we the people, that we are the ones that have to enforce or execute the laws of the Union. I've already covered this. And so as we, and all things, you know, monitor and demand full compliance, then we start acting like the true immune system our government should have, and we would be able to eradicate all unconstitutional government. We just have to get these corrupt people out, and we have to get all people to understand the importance of protecting and preserving our Constitution, which means that we will actually protect and preserve our liberties. And so this is this symbiotic relationship that all the parts of the body in functioning together can actually live in harmony. What we're dealing with has nothing to do with living in harmony. It has everything to deal with enslavement, slavery, subjugation, and so forth. So there you have it. There's the go back. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic. And when we come back, we'll be back into the amendments of the Constitution. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.